Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all again. Make sure you keep your Bibles open at that passage. We'll be going through it now. The recording, I can start. So, school scripture is under attack. The government is still calling for it to be swapped out for the Safe Schools program or ethics. It feels like everywhere we turn, people are giving us new and more inventive ways of insulting Christians for our stance on same-sex marriage. I've heard of many Christian bosses overlooking Christians for promotions simply because of what they believe. What do we do when it feels like the world is out to get us? How do we as Christians respond when it feels like the government is our enemy? Do we rise up? Do we start a rebellion? Do we take up arms against the government? Or does God want us to do something else? Well, 1 Peter was written to a group of Christians in a very similar set of circumstances. They were asking these same questions that we are. So let's jump into 1 Peter and see what God has to tell us about the times we live in and how we are to respond as Christians. Please join with me in prayer as we start. Heavenly Father, please open our ears to what you have to say to us through your servant Peter. Help us to take it to heart and may it change how we live. Amen. So last week we heard from Alan, and Alan outlined Peter's basic principle for Christian living. Peter wants Christians to live such good lives that those who aren't Christians will see how we live and then will praise God on the day that Jesus returns. And that's a brilliant principle, but it doesn't tell us what it should look like day to day. And so now Peter, in verse 13, moves on and starts giving us some practical examples of what that will look like. Have a look with me. Verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. One way that Peter encourages us to live these good lives among the nations is to submit to the authorities that God has placed over us. And it doesn't take long to see why this might be a good idea. Imagine what would happen if all the Christians in Australia decided that every time a decision went against them, they would tip over cars, break shop windows, and burn things. Imagine if every Sunday service finished with all of us gathering together as an angry mob and storming up Mortdale Street. It wouldn't take long before people would stop thinking that Christians were good for society. It wouldn't take long before the government started banning churches from meeting together because they were no good troublemakers. And so instead of that, Peter calls on Christians to be good citizens, to submit to the government, to not cause a ruckus. The first thing that I noticed as I read this verse was that it doesn't just apply to the government. You'll notice that it says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. So yes, that means the government, but it also means the police, the parking officers who charge us when we stayed in one spot too long. It means our bosses at work, even the middle management. It means anyone who has been placed in a position of authority over us. And Peter wants us to submit to all of them. But surely Peter's not talking about our government, right? He doesn't mean the Liberal Party or the Labour Party. I didn't vote for them, and they're doing some weird things at the moment, and there's some shonky politics going on with citizenship, and surely Peter really wasn't actually talking about them. He just meant the emperor who was around at the time that he wrote this. Well, Peter wrote this in the year 62 AD, and the emperor at the time that Peter wrote this was this fellow, a guy by the name of Nero. You may know Nero for such thrilling escapades as winning every medal at the Olympic Games because he was the emperor and no one wanted to compete against him. but he would also take Christians, string them up, and set them on fire to serve as torches for his garden parties. Now, Nero hadn't quite started doing that yet when Peter wrote this letter, but God knew that only a few years after Peter wrote this letter, Nero would start attacking Christians. In fact, it was less than 10 years after Peter wrote this letter that Peter would be killed in Rome by Nero or one of his officials, simply because he was preaching the gospel. And so if Peter can tell his churches to submit to the leader such as Nero, then surely we have no excuse for not submitting to the government in Australia, who gives us so many good freedoms and allows us so many ways of letting them know what we feel about the decisions they've made. Now, when Peter tells us to submit to the government, does that mean that we're not allowed to tell the government what we think, that we're not allowed to say, look, this is what I think you should do? Well, no. It doesn't mean we have to stay silent, particularly because the government in Australia gives us so many legal means for telling the government what we think and letting them know when they disapprove. But it does mean that when the decisions go against us, we submit to them and we find new ways of doing things. As I said, you can see why Peter would do this. It would not be a good thing for Christians to riot every time the government made a decision that limited the freedom of churches. I've already spoken to missionaries in other countries who say that it's actually getting more difficult to teach people the gospel, because the people in those countries view Christians with suspicion because they're too busy lying on their passports to get in. But no, the government has given us legal ways of doing things, and we need to submit to those processes. I think one group that did a really good job of this was Love Makes a Way. They were big during the start of the refugee crisis, and they wanted the government to admit more refugees into Australia and to stop putting them in places like Manus Island. What they would do, they would go to the office of a government official, usually a member of parliament. They would go in during office hours, they would sit down, and they would start praying. And they would stay there until well after the office had closed. They wouldn't cause a fuss, they wouldn't break anything, they wouldn't yell or shout, they would just pray. When they were asked to leave, they would stay there until the police showed up. And when the police came and arrested them, they would get up and leave without fighting or arguing. And as far as I'm aware, none of these people were ever charged with anything, because they didn't cause a fuss, they didn't break anything, they didn't break any laws. But they still let the government know exactly what they thought. So as we submit to the government, what happens if the government starts telling us to do something that is against what the Bible says? Or if the government tells us that we are no longer allowed to read the Bible? What happens in this situation? Do we still submit? This is where verse 17 comes in handy. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honour the emperor. This is one of my favourite verses. I really like it. It shows us exactly how we're supposed to relate to everyone in the world. Peter gives us a really nice layered structure here. We respect everyone because everyone is created in the image of God and deserves respect. We love other believers because they are our family. They are our brothers and our sisters, our mothers and our children. We fear and obey God because he is our creator and our judge. And we give honour to the king or to the emperor or the government or the authorities, because they have been placed there by God for the good order of society. The order of obedience that Peter expects starts at the top, God first, then the emperor, our fellow believers, and then everyone else. So when Peter tells us to submit to the authorities and the authorities tell us to do something that God does not want us to do, we listen to God. But when we do that, we need to be ready to face the consequences for those actions. And this gets particularly difficult when it feels like the government is out to get you. When we hear stories of bosses passing over Christians for promotions because of what they think about same-sex marriage. When we hear stories of the government trying to push scripture out of schools. Or I've read a number of people who think that bringing a child to Sunday school should be counted as child abuse. And as we live in these days, it gets harder and harder to stand up and identify ourselves as Christians. The more we submit to the government, the more suffering seems to come just for being a Christian. So how do we respond to that suffering? Where do we get the courage we need to stand up and say, yes, I'm a Christian? This is something I need to hear as well. It gets harder and harder even for me to tell people what I do. Nothing stops a conversation quite so quickly as saying, I study at Bible college and I'm going to work for the church. As soon as I say that, people tend to look at you funny and go, I'm not sure I can talk to you anymore. You're a bit weird. You take religion too seriously. I'm sure you've thought the same thing. I can't possibly tell them I went to church. They might think less of me. I can't let my boss know I'm a Christian. That would be bad for my promotion. How do we keep going? Well, this is where verse 21 comes in handy. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. The courage we need to stand up for Jesus comes back to looking at what Jesus went through for us. You see, Jesus came. He came to show us God. No deceit was found in his mouth. He was an innocent man. And yet still, he was persecuted by the authorities. He was abandoned by his friends. He was mocked by the crowds. He was beaten and flogged by the soldiers, until ultimately he was nailed to a cross and murdered by the very people he came to save. And he did that for you. God is the creator and ruler of this world. He gives us life and breath. And every time when we reject God, we act like he isn't here. We deserve to be punished for that treason against God. And yet, by dying on the cross, by suffering the unjust insults, by putting up with the beating, Jesus took the punishment that we deserve. By rising to new life, he fixed our broken relationship with God, and he allowed us to come back to the one who created us as his sons and daughters. It is by his wounds that we are healed. Jesus did all of that for us. He did that for me. And yet when somebody asks me what I did on the weekend, I'm too afraid to tell them that I came to church because they might look at me funny or call me a name. When we're scared of the suffering that we will face, when we can't find the courage to tell people that we are Christians or that we come to church, or when we're just too tired to put up with the snide comments that will happen at work. Peter tells us to remember what Jesus did for you. Remember the suffering that he went through for you. And let that give you the courage you need to stand up for him and to submit to the authorities, even if it means suffering. Peter even takes it one step further in verse 19. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. We can be proud of ourselves when we suffer for God, when we suffer for doing good, because we are following Jesus' footsteps. We are being like him. If we are given a speeding ticket because we were going too fast, well, then we deserve it, and that's not commendable at all. But if we are suffering because we are conscious of God, because we are living by his rules, then we can be proud of that. I'm sure some of you are starting to see just how relevant this passage is for life in Australia today. Christians in Australia are already starting to suffer. And that suffering is ramping up more and more as people see us as bigoted or fascist or conservative, which is now an insult for some reason. But Peter tells us to remember what Christ did for us, to submit to the authorities, and let the story of Jesus give us the courage we need to stand up to the suffering that will come. And how does God want us to treat those who are persecuting us? Well, let me borrow the words of Jesus. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. So pray for the government, pray for those in authority over you, pray that they will make godly and wise decisions, and pray that God will help you remember what Jesus has done so that you can continue to stand strong, even when it's difficult. And we need to start submitting to the authorities that are over us. We need to stop trying to undermine the government in our everyday conversations, but supporting them in the decisions they make. We need to stop gossiping about our bosses at work and start supporting them amongst our co-workers. We need to stop undermining the authorities that have been placed over us, but instead work hard at being good citizens who submit to the authorities so that on the day God returns, people will see our behaviour and praise our Father in heaven. Yes, we should make our voices known. Yes, we do have a voice in the public sphere. But let's make sure we conduct ourselves in a manner that is respectful and peaceful, and not one that can be seen as harsh or cruel. Friends, Peter wants us to submit to the authorities even when it's hard. And when we face suffering, remember Christ. Remember that he went through the cross for you. And let that give you the courage you need to live for him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that he set for us an example to live by. Give us the courage we need to stand up for you even when it's hard. And help us to submit to all the authorities that you have placed over us. Amen.
song is, so